Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
An Erios production.
Menopause is coming and the men have all left town. But I'm not giving up until I see that baby crown. Could be balding, bearded, short or tall. Funny, smart, love basketball. From gay to straight, black to white. Tiny eyes with an underbite. I just need sperm cast.
Hey. Patreon shout out time. Thank you, Molly, with an IE. You are my only new patron this week, so you are extra special. But also, thank you, Erica T., who gave me a really dope show of support on Venmo. Folks, you know the deal. You can support the show by subscribing to patreon.com/spermcast, or you can send money via Venmo to molly-hawkey. Okay, so, been thinking a lot about race this week, obviously. I hope you all have been, too. I'm sure you all have been. And I just want to call myself out on a big problem. In the 2 years that I've been doing this show, I have fallen way short on having guests of color. Like, very, very, very short. I've had one guest of color in season one when I was interviewing sperm donors. There is a gaping hole of perspective on my show. In general, I'm lazy about finding guests, and usually they just fall right into my lap at the last minute. Over the last 2 years, I've casually asked a couple black friends and a couple of other women of color I follow on Instagram to be guests, but nothing's ever panned out. I was lazy when I should have kept actively reaching out with a concerted effort to get that perspective. It's my responsibility to bring that perspective to the show, and I failed. So now I'm reaching out again privately, but I'm also wondering if you have any suggestions for guests of color who might have a story to share about fertility or infertility or wanting babies or absolutely not wanting babies, whatever. Send your suggestions my way. I'm happy to reach out to them myself, or if you want to put us in touch, that would be great also. Also, if you are a person of color and you want to talk about your story on the show, I would love to hear from you. So the best way to reach me is at my email, spermcast@gmail.com, or DM me on my Spermcast Instagram. What else? Well, update-wise, it's Monday and I have an appointment for my baseline ultrasound tomorrow. That's exciting. I did a COVID test. It was negative. That's exciting. I've been to 5 protests and I don't know how my clinic will react if they find out. And I'm terrified that they're going to ask me. And if they do, I'm sure I won't be able to lie. So I'll just tell them and then they'll say, oh no, girl, you can't do a transfer if you're going to protest. And I'll say, but I wore 2 masks and glasses and I had my hair tied back and a hat on top and I carried hand sanitizer and I stripped down and showered the second I got home each time. And they'll say, sorry, no, come back later. And I'll say, fuck. So that's exciting, the not knowing of whether or not I'll be able to do my transfer. Oh, God, I don't know what's going on anymore, but I'm doing my best, everybody. Okay, let's listen to the interview. Today, we're talking to a lovely couple from Indiana, Nick and Paige. They've been on a long journey to parenthood, and they've been documenting it on Instagram at Journey to Baby Davis and in their podcast called What the Family, WTF. All right, let's get into it.
Paige and I have known each other since high school. We've been together since we were 16.
Oh my goodness.
We're 29. We got married in 2015. Mm-hmm. And we probably waited about a year just to, you know, try and start to have kids. And we started trying and nothing was happening. We probably tried for, I don't know, what would you say, 6 months?
Yeah, I'd say about 6 months.
Yeah, and then...
And I'm too impatient to wait. So we just brought it up to my OB. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, you know, let's just check your blood work just to make sure there's nothing goofy going on.
Then the doctor said, well, why doesn't Nick go get checked? You know, why don't we do a semen analysis? So I was like, okay.
That was not on my radar.
Yeah. Like, I didn't even know it was a thing, really. So. Yeah.
And they were doing a blood test for you at the same time?
Yeah, she just wanted to check like a basic like hormone type panel to make sure nothing, because I do have thyroid issues, but that was fine and nothing else. There was no red flags. Okay. So she thought maybe this would be a good step to check Nick out and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. So I went and did that, and that was wonderful.
Fun?
Yeah, it was fun. Wow, what an experience. So, and then I got my results back, and they said, oh, we don't see anything.
Stop it.
Yeah, for real.
Oh, and, my but, God.
So,
not
yeah,
even like...
Not even one.
Dead
not
ones
even dead
or...
Ones
or
not even dead
looking
ones.
Ones.
Yeah,
ones.
Nothing. Nothing.
And I'm a healthy dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm young, healthy. And I'm like, okay. So they said this. They said, well, let's do one more. Sometimes this might just be like a fluke thing. Maybe there's something wrong here. So I went and did a second one.
Fun.
And it was very fun again.
Paige so, looks pissed.
Yeah.
It's awkward. There's no great way. And like, even if they let you do it at home, if you live within like so many miles of where you need to take it, they'll let you do it at home, but then you have to drive like crazy and keep it warm and drop it off.
That's what we did the first time. I did it at home the first time. And then you got to like hurry up and get there because it's like time sensitive.
Mm.
So I did the second time there at the clinic and it was the same results. I had a zero sperm count.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nothing.
And I was like, what? I didn't even know it was a thing. Like, at least for me, anytime I've heard of infertility, in my head, I just like think it's just like a woman thing. I don't know if that's bad to say, but like,
no. I think that happens with most people. It's because it's not your fault.
But I just feel like all the stories, or anytime I've heard of infertility, you just always hear of like, a woman is dealing with it. I've never heard of a guy having, you know, low sperm count or like a motility issues, or let alone a zero sperm count. Like, you know, I've never
they
heard
don't
of that.
Broadcast. That's why.
And you know this, like infertility is just one of those things. Like not a lot of people talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's this kind of alone feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank God that you're talking about it.
Yeah, you know? I've been pretty vocal about it.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the reasons we started the Instagram was just to like connect with other people.
Yeah, good.
And then we started the podcast just to share our story and just, you know, if we could share a story, even if it helps like one person that might be going through it and they're like, oh my gosh, I have a sperm count issue too. And this guy has something going on. Oh man, I thought I was alone because that's how I felt. I was like, what? I had never heard of, I had never heard of a guy having a zero sperm count. So immediately I'm like, oh my God, there's something wrong with me.
Right.
And like, who else is going through something like this? So that's where our journey started. And it's just been.
Well, I want to get to the bottom of why you didn't have any sperm in there.
And that's something we'll probably never know.
Yeah, we'll probably never. Yeah. So after that, I think I had blood tests.
We were recommended to a urologist that like specifically handles male fertility type stuff. And he was poked and prodded and samples and surgery and.
Surgery?
Yeah.
What was the surgery?
Okay, so we got to lay out the detail. Because it does sound like a lot. So yeah, we saw a specialist.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then I do all this lab work just to confirm that like my testosterone is where it needs to be. There were no indicators that I had like genetic issues or anything like that. There was nothing to indicate that this is the reason why I have a zero sperm count. He said, look, there's only really one way for me to know what's going on, and we've got to go in, and I need to do a testicular biopsy. I need to see if you have any sperm in there. You know, they had ruled out a blockage It wasn't a varicocele, which a varicocele is kind of like this, you know, like a blood vessel that would, I don't know if I'm explaining
like a,
it right.
A vein, like a big vein that maybe. Sometimes if there's too many or if it's like wrapped around the sensitive areas, it can cause too much like heat from the blood flow and that can kill some sperm off. So
I didn't have any of that going on. So he was just like, yeah, the only way for me to find out if you are making any is to go in. So we set the day up and then I had surgery and I woke up.
The plan was if he did see anything, he would just take it out, freeze it, set it aside.
Okay, good. Yeah. That's cool.
That way, if it was there, might as well.
Right.
So I'm sitting in the waiting room just waiting and he comes out and says, couldn't find anything.
Unbelievable.
I know. Unbelievable. Yeah. They didn't find anything. And I did, you know, I should mention that they did put me on Clomid also for what, like six months. They put me on Clomid just to see if they could, I don't know, ramp things up.
This was before the surgery or after?
This was before the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Clomid in women and men is used to stimulate the production of FSH. In women, FSH stimulates the growth of ovarian follicles, but in men, follicle-stimulating hormone acts on the Sertoli cells of the testes to stimulate sperm production or spermatogenesis.
I was on Clomid for like 6 months, and I think the only thing I really got from that was hot flashes.
Oh my God. Yeah, I didn't know that it was something that men could take.
Yeah, they do it.
I'm learning a lot right now.
I think it didn't work because it's for hormonal issues, and yours were doing everything they were supposed to. I mean, we tried it just to try it because it was a recommendation and it was something easy to do, but I think that's why it didn't work.
I'm just curious if there's a genetic aspect to it, but I know you said you don't know. I think, isn't there something with Turner syndrome?
They sent
a sample from your surgery to the genetic specialist.
Okay.
They said that came back fine. So it's a mystery.
This isn't fair.
It's one of those things where like, I don't know if I'll ever know. It's
That's
a bummer.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy because it's just one of those things like completely blindsided by it. You know, it's just one of those things where you never think about it.
Mm-mm.
And like, I didn't even know it was a thing. And then when you do find out like, hey, the chances of you having kids might be near impossible. And so, I mean, not saying there's a 0% chance because crazy things happen all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe one day I'll wake up and I will have this amazing sperm count. I don't know. but which would be sweet.
Yeah.
But
is that called azoospermia?
So technically they called it severe hypospermatogenesis.
Okay.
It's a very long mouthful, but
I don't know what that means.
Okay, that's good. That gives me something to look up. All right, so azoospermia is the medical condition of a man whose semen contains no sperm. In humans, azoospermia affects about 1% of the male population. So there are three types of azoospermia: pretesticular, testicular, posttesticular, and unknown. So I guess there are four. Pretesticular would mean the cause for azoospermia would be attributed to a hormone imbalance, like too little FSH or LH or not enough testosterone. And these things are very treatable, or I think. Don't quote me on that. Okay, so testicular azoospermia would be the result of abnormal, atrophic, or absent testes, which would severely disturb or make absent sperm production. Causes for testicular failure include congenital issues, like in certain genetic conditions, or they could be caused by infection, surgery, trauma, or cancer, or radiation. And then there's post-testicular azoospermia, in which sperm are produced, but it's not ejaculated. The main cause is a physical obstruction of the post-testicular genital tracts. That's known as obstructive azoospermia. Like, for instance, if the vas deferens was blocked or snipped, or it was just not there, like in some male carriers of cystic fibrosis, the sperm would have no way of getting out of the testicle and into the peen. Another potential obstruction could be a varicocele. A varicocele is an enlargement of the veins within the loose bag of skin that holds your testicles, aka your scrotum. A varicocele is similar to a varicose vein you might see in your leg, and varicoceles are a common cause of low sperm production and decreased sperm quality, which can cause infertility. But in a very severe case, it could cause xerosperm or azoospermia. Now, Nick's diagnosis was severe hypospermatogenesis. Hypospermatogenesis, as far as I can tell, is just defined as the abnormal decreased production of spermatozoa. So I think that's just a form of unexplained azoospermia.
Oh, man. Yeah, man, someone has to have some answers,
yeah.
I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, it's been probably a couple of years since I've had a semen analysis. And I mean, we haven't been safe. So,
yeah.
and we still haven't gotten pregnant. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing I probably had the same results,
right?
But, I don't know. Mm. So after my surgery and, you know, we found out that like, hey, this probably isn't going to happen. Then you start kind of looking at, okay, well, A, we know we want to have a family and it's really important to us. And how do we get there?
I feel like we didn't waste very much time researching and moving on to the next step. I mean, we grieved it a little bit, but...
Yeah, it sucked. It still sucks. It does. It sucks a lot. Even where we're at today, it's still in the back of my mind. I mean, not only do you feel bad for yourself, but then you feel bad for your significant other and the journey that you just have to go down with them. And you almost feel like it's your fault.
Mm.
And it's a tough one to get over. It really is.
Yeah.
You go through certain anxiety and other things. It's really tough. I mean, I feel for anybody that goes through any sort of trouble with infertility. Mm-hmm. It's just a tough one to get through. No matter where you are in your journey, it's just tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Paige, how are you feeling at this time? I'm sure you were saying it's not your fault. I mean, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Right. Well, and, you know, one of the first things that his mom had said was, I hope your marriage can survive this.
Oh, my.
And
to both of you?
Yeah, just because it's a huge, you know, mm-hmm. can't have kids. Is that a deal breaker? But ultimately, I feel like you marry your spouse to have a life with them, not just to have kids with them. Mm-hmm. So it was never, I was never like, oh, well, you can't give me biological kids and then I can't do this.
Right.
Because there's other ways around it. There always are. So.
Right. Because if you think about it, like when people get married all the time and you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know if you're going to be able to have kids.
Until you start trying.
You start trying.
Yeah.
But that was never, we never thought like that back then. We just thought, we just assumed.
Right.
I just thought like, boom, let's start a family.
No.
Definitely doesn't work that way, at least for some people.
So you started thinking about the other options.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So obviously using a donor, that was the cheapest option,
right?
Just doing like basic IUIs
mm-hmm.
with donor. I always knew that was out there and a thing. We didn't know much about it until we came to the point where we actually had to start researching it.
Yeah,
we knew that was the cheapest route, but however, it was still difficult for you.
It's tough. Well, you know, Molly, you know all about this.
I do. But I want to hear from you. But yeah.
No, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Like, just the amount of research that goes into it. And I'm looking at different profiles and stuff.
But to back up, even the idea of accepting it was hard for you at first.
Super hard because, like, I don't have a sperm count. Now I got to choose some more.
Right. Now you're just swimming in sperm.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So to know,
like.
The idea of the biological factor was hard.
Yeah.
For you, not for me, for you. And
that
I
is
think
hard.
Once we got over that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also
a shit show.
It's also interesting that you were completely, it's harder because you were so blindsided. Like going into my journey, knowing that I had no idea what was going to happen. I knew that I don't know where I'm going to end up right now. And everything has been like an adjustment, but it's been sort of like easy steps, not easy, but steps along the way. Whereas for you, you went from I'm 26, 27 years old and I'm about to have a family to I'm not going to have a biological child of my own ever. That's a huge shift.
It's tough. When you think about it that way, when you think about I'm not going to have a biological child myself, you get in this weird mindset, you know, at the beginning of our journey, because I started thinking like, oh my gosh, like you almost start thinking that like, this is the end of me. I will never pass down my genetics. But even though it's in the back of my head and it sucks, you get to a point where genetics are not the only thing that you can pass down. You pass down your morals, your love, and all these values that you have, and you can pass that down to any child that you bring into your life to create your family.
Yeah.
So
it's not all about the biology.
Yeah, it's not all about the biology. So. But you kind of come from a weird place in the beginning, but it takes time.
Yeah.
You know, just to kind of get to that good place, I guess.
Yeah. But now, before you move on, at what point did you start talking about it publicly or trying to find other people in your same boat?
Probably immediately I searched for like male infertility support groups on Facebook.
Good.
But here was the thing that I found out about the male infertility support groups. They're all, at least for me, the ones that I joined, they were like all the wives of these guys.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm kind of, you know, I talk to like everyone. And so I'd see someone put something out there and I was like, hey, how's it going? I've got the same issue as your husband. And I'm like, oh, why isn't he in here?
Right.
And, but they would get on there but I hardly noticed any guys in there. So, and it's still kind of like that today.
Wow.
You'll get a couple of them. I've had a couple guys message me on Facebook, but I don't really see them post in there, and I get it. I mean, it's a tough thing to talk about when you're a dude.
I know what that sucks about humanity. Men are allowed to have feelings.
Yeah,
well, they should.
Good.
They should. I'm upfront and honest. I cried a lot, man.
Yeah.
I cried a lot. It sucked.
Oh man.
People should share their story.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you sharing yours makes other people more able to share their own.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, I found some support groups in the beginning, and then at some point, I just felt like I need to connect with more people, and so that's when we just made the Instagram, and then started the podcast just to see if we could reach some more people. And I just feel like it's really important to share our story.
Yeah. Can you tell us what the name of the Instagram and the podcast are again?
The Instagram is Journey to Baby Davis.
Okay.
The podcast is called What the Family. I don't know if it makes any sense. It's like WTF.
No, yeah,
like
makes sense. I get it.
Yeah. When you're going through infertility, man, it makes you want to say, you know, WTF. But
I love it. Okay, so where did I cut you guys off?
Our clinic they specifically gave us a list of specific ones that they wanted us to choose from.
Okay.
So we just kind of looked them up. Obviously, you compare pricing, and it's not cheap. And
I just remember we would get home from work, and we'd go down to the basement, get on the computer, and just sift through all these profiles and just read about their family history, listen to their audio interviews, and then we ordered a couple of vials to send to our fertility clinic.
We didn't know. Some people spend crazy money, and we just thought, well, let's just start off this route in case it works right away. We don't want to have a bunch left over.
Right.
So I think we did a total of six.
Six vials IUIs. Or six IUIs? Okay.
Yeah, six IUIs with donor. We used a couple different donors. The first donor that we used, the second try, worked. We got a positive pregnancy.
Wow.
But it turned into a chemical.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. And then we were like, oh, well, let's just order more from the same donor. Uh-huh. Oh, he moved. He's not donating anymore.
No.
So Yeah, we just picked another one and tried again a few more times, and
it didn't.
Didn't work.
It sucked.
Yeah.
So we kind of have a little bit of unexplained infertility as well.
Right.
Because there's nothing wrong on my end, but it just wasn't working. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After the sixth one didn't work, did we take a break? It's kind of, you know, everything.
There was a little bit of a break.
Like a blur,
yeah. Yeah. There was a short break in between the chemical. But yeah, we kind of just rolled through. We just kept going. We just felt like we didn't want to waste any time,
right.
Which is weird because we were young.
But when you know what you want it now.
Right. Yeah. I know.
When you're ready, all of a sudden you're ready.
Yeah. That's true. So, yeah, we probably took a short break.
At that point, we met with our fertility doctor and said, okay, so, because through all these IUIs, I was only taking just like Clomid, like over the counter. I wasn't doing really any injections, anything crazy like that. Cause there wasn't really a need to. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anything wrong on my end. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, you could, you know, we could bump it up and get some more medication in the mix. But of course, the price goes up significantly. And, you know, she talked about embryo adoption.
At that point, before talking about IVF?
We talked about IVF too. It was kind of like a mixture of what our other options were. Uh-huh. So IVF was brought up, but again, she's like, I just don't think you guys are ready for that. I don't think we're there yet because there's nothing wrong. I think we should just keep trying, maybe do more medicine. And I got where she was coming from, but IVF is 50-50. You just never know if it's going to work, and it's really expensive. And the same thing with the embryo donation. It's essentially, yes, it's not as expensive, but you still kind of have to go through the IVF process. So in the long term, it was still, and I hate that it's about money.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
God, this stuff is just, you know, it's expensive.
Yeah. And where we live, most insurances don't have any coverage for it. So, yeah.
Right.
Everything was out of pocket.
Yeah. So you got to get like creative and you got to have like garage sales and sell stuff on eBay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes. And you got to get creative how you're going to do it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So,
but at that point, we had spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I know I shouldn't look at it that way, but we spent all that money and didn't get anywhere.
Right.
So the adoption thing just kind of rolled into it. That's always been in the back of our head, but we tossed that up too. And that was surprisingly very easy for myself. I don't know about Nick, but easy for me to let go of the idea of this, I want to be pregnant thing, this mission to get pregnant.
Did you in your life, was that something that you'd always thought about? I ask because I...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
My mom's adopted.
Okay.
So we have other family members that are adopted, so it's not foreign to us. And I'd always thought about that in the back of my head. Obviously, we were like, well, let's get pregnant and have our own kids first. Our biological children, I should say. That wasn't coming very easy, so
right.
It wasn't super hard for me to let go. I mean, personally, I was already in that spot where, like, you know, I can't have biological kids,
right?
So I can't.
So does it matter if have biological kids?
Yeah. So you end up in this place where it's kind of like, okay, well, what do we do now?
And by then, it's kind of like a break. We're not past that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we may go back to that at some point. It's not off the table. We just felt like it's time to let my body take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I wasn't on any kind of crazy meds, it was still a lot to go through all those and take the over-the-counter medication and I just felt like it was a good time to pause and maybe go into a new direction mm-hmm. of adoption. And we thought, if you know, I hate to bring the money part back into it, but you spend so much like on IVF, why yeah. not spend a little bit more and know that you're going to get a child out of it. You just don't know how long it will take, but you know you'll get a child out of it. So
right.
after talking a lot, that's just kind of the route we yeah. thought we should go down.
We were like, okay, well, let's see if we can start this adoption. And that was like a whole nother thing, because it's like, where do you start? So I got on Google and like I sent some emails. That's and like I had trouble finding, you know, just like agencies.
Yeah.
I think I sent a bunch of emails out and I really didn't get any back.
Emails to the agencies?
I just like churches that could help guide us or provide resources. Mm-hmm. I really didn't get anything back except for one church that was near us emailed back and said, hey, I don't have any contacts of any agencies or anyone that we work with, but there is a lady that goes to church that knows someone that gives like talks about adoptions.
Oh, okay.
And she said, here's her number. And so I was like, okay. So it was a little awkward, but I sent her a text and I was just like, hey, how's it going? This is Nick. And so I just kind of explained that we interested in adoption and if she could maybe guide us in the right place. She was like, yeah, give me a call. And we had the most wonderful mm-hmm. conversation.
Oh, good.
In the parking lot, the gas station, as we were going to get some Subway. So we just kind of like hung out and talked to her for like a good half hour. And she recommended this adoption agency that was like a couple hours away from us. Mm-hmm. And that's who we ended up contacting.
And it was kind of just like a whirlwind once we made the phone call. They were like, okay, yeah. They just kind of like, okay, well, here's the first step. And it was like a seminar type thing that they require. We had to go there. And then they kind of just give like orientation on this is what adoption looks like. This is what it's going to look like going through our agency. Just laying out the framework, which was nice because I had no idea what we were getting ourselves into.
Uh-huh.
How long would you say it took between the time that we went to that first seminar and said, yep, sign us up, let's do this, before things really started rolling?
A couple months? Yeah, probably a couple months. Yeah, we had that like that intro class. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably a couple months.
And what did you learn at the intro class? Just like setting up your house in a way that's ready for a baby or just everything?
Just kind of. So this agency specifically, they are geared more towards open adoption.
Uh-huh.
They will do closed adoption as well. So they kind of really set the framework for what that means, because a lot of people just assume, you know, you get this child and then that's it. There's no contact with birth parents. And they primarily do, they match you with expectant moms. Uh-huh. So, you know, you follow the journey with them until they deliver. And then you still keep contact, but there's just ways to do it in a good way where they kind of set the ground rules and how that looks like and how you want it to look like.
That's cool.
Yeah. So at first, the open adoption thing, we weren't put off by it, but it just was kind of strange because my mom, hers was closed.
Okay.
We never met her birth mom. So the openness was a little, I guess, interesting.
Yeah, because it makes you think, well, not coming from that world, you kind of think like, okay, well, how do you navigate that relationship?
Right.
You know, what does that mean? You know, after the class and the more you talk about it, it's such a positive thing to have for that child in their life. To know who their birth mom and birth father.
It kind of saves that as they get older and start wondering kind of phase. Because I feel like every child, if they know that they are adopted, down the road, I feel like they're going to start, even though they love their parents very much, it's the wondering. It's wanting to know where you biologically came from.
Yeah.
Right. The identity that comes with it, for sure.
It basically makes it just a normal thing from the get-go for them.
And for you as parents, isn't it a little comforting knowing where the kid comes from?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For yeah. sure.
If you have questions about something that's going on with them.
Yep. That's a huge plus in my eyes that you can do that.
Yeah.
Now, how they set their, I don't want to say rules,
boundaries?
But
it is boundaries. Contractual though.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you can, it was ultimately up to us when we, you know, started getting further into the process. They had us, aside from type up 4 or 5 pages about all of us and our families and things like that, we kind of had to set like how often we would want to visit each year and how updates would look. Would it be once a month via text or FaceTime or mail?
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah. And it's in that moment when you're setting that up, you're kind of like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really know. You know, in that class, they shared a lot of stories with adoptive parents that they've already worked with and how good their relationship is with the birth mom. And they ended up, you know, a lot of them visit more often than they said they wanted to originally mm-hmm. because it's such a good relationship and they're comfortable with that. So when we were writing this up, we were like, I have no clue. So we just kind of, in our eyes at the time, picked what we thought was good. So
yeah. Right.
And what worked.
Once you kind of, you know, start this adoption process, you're putting together your profile. You kind of, you know, you're answering all these questions and you're writing stuff about each other. So the expectant mom, when she's looking for a family, it's almost like everything about yeah. you.
Not to cut you off. They make like a catalog about you essentially right. now. Yeah. So it's, let's display you for these expectant moms to see and read about you and mm-hmm. look at your pictures because they are choosing us. We don't have any say so. I mean, I shouldn't say that. We do have say so if we don't feel like it's a good right. fit, but they yeah. work hard to make sure that that's already kind of going down the right road before you're even
approached,
introduced yeah. or anything. Yes. So.
So that was fun.
And that's weird to write about yourself.
Yeah.
It's very awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you put together this profile and then it goes live online. You know, they would probably have expectant moms like reach out to them and then they would present probably like a physical copy of our profile.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's how it majority goes is they have like a booklet and then plan to meet with these people first, but you can any expectant mom, if they found their website, they could go on there and look under the families and just say, yep, I like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we put together the profile and then what happened after that? The home study.
Yeah.
Yeah. The home study was another thing.
What was that?
It's like, well, you have this home study. They just kind of like, I don't know. They just want to make sure you don't have a giant hole in your floor that someone could fall
right.
through, I guess.
You have working plumbing, you have electricity, you have a safe house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fire extinguishers on every floor.
Yeah, that was a requirement.
You almost think that like, oh my gosh, I got to clean the house. Right. I got to make sure we have all this stuff done.
Right. You worry that they're going to judge you as bad parents.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel like you have to have your house like in the most perfect mm-hmm.
It, yeah.
And I mean, that's not the case at all, but.
They're not expecting you to like baby proof your house at all.
Okay.
It's not like you have to have all the outlets covered, but when we had our study, it was more of like a personal interview.
Yeah. She spent more time asking us questions and looking at the house, which surprised me, but it worked out well, I think.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking back to it, I mean, some of the questions were like, do you have any siblings and do they live in the area? How often do you spend time with your family? What do you do on the weekends? Do you spend a lot of time with them on the weekends? And I guess they just kind of wanted to know like your family dynamic mm-hmm. too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but it takes like 6 weeks to get it approved.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's, so you hurry up, they come and do everything, and then you wait a whole nother almost 2 months before they say, yep, you're approved. So then, you know, the last stage after you have that approval is to make you active is what they call it, where you're officially up on their website, your profile is ready to be viewed
uh-huh.
by expectant moms. So I think we had our home study in October and then by December we were active.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's where it kind of, you hurry up and get all these things done and then you just wait.
Yeah.
It's a waiting game.
Yeah.
We got our first call.
When was that?
So they won't call us. They said, we're not going to call you unless like we think this is a really good match and it's looking really good and they will potentially want to meet you. Mm. So I think by the end of January, we had our first call. Okay. And they're like, they actually live pretty local to you. So let's set up a dinner and you can meet them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You can imagine how like nervous you're like, yes. Oh my gosh, I'm going to meet this person. Yeah. We set up a time and met for dinner.
Like at a restaurant?
Yeah, yeah. At a restaurant. It's a little strange, but like, it's good that you do that for the expectant mom. I mean, it's probably so good for her and probably really helps with her decision.
Yeah.
So, and you're there just to answer any questions that she has. And
yeah.
So our social worker was there to like help guide the situation.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Yeah. So it's not just like us and the expectant parents,
right.
Because you're already nervous.
You're nervous and you don't know these people. So to make conversation with complete strangers is.
Yeah. It's like an online date.
Yes.
Yeah.
But way more intense.
Literally. That's how it felt. You can't prepare for that.
It's, no, yeah. I was super nervous, but.
But you just have to be yourself, right?
Yeah. You just, that's the key. Just be yourself. So. The dinner went well, and then the expectant mom ended up wanting to meet other potential families.
Okay.
She was doing June.
She had time.
So it wasn't like a no, but we just kind of like moved on. They continued showing her profile to other expectant moms.
Okay.
I mean, after that one, there was like another potential one.
That came up about the same time, but there were a lot of potential legal issues regarding the birth father.
Uh-huh.
So it was one of those cases where, well, they could pick you and match. You could take the child home, but there is a chance you'd have to give that child back to that birth father.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And we were excited about it, but also that scared us half to death.
Yeah.
So, because once I bring this baby home and I'm taking care of it, like that's... I can't. So
yeah, you get too attached. Maybe.
Yeah. And another thing, this agency, they don't like to have you meet more than one birth mom at a time.
Okay.
Just because it's not fair to them. They want you to kind of just stick with one at a time. So because we ultimately chose to meet with that mom that we went to dinner
uh-huh.
with, they let that other birth mom meet her second choice.
Gotcha.
We were her first. Oh. So that was kind of heartbreaking. We were sad about that, but you can't really kind of claim all the birth moms yourself
right.
and not let it, you know. So it's weird. It's a weird cycle, but.
And it's just it adds on to your waiting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So after that one, I feel like it kind of got quiet. And then
it was quiet,
you know, we started,
for a little while.
Yeah, and then we started rolling into all this coronavirus stuff.
Oh my God.
I mean, everyone knows how that went. So I just feel like everything kind of got quiet. I mean, obviously, people are still having babies.
Right.
But we didn't hear anything for a while. And then we got a call one day that said...
This was in March.
Yeah, this was in March. That said that this expectant mom in Tennessee... liked our profile and she would like to FaceTime us and kind of have that just conversation over the phone. So we said, let's do it. And we set a date up, but it got canceled.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So she ended up choosing a different family in another state.
Uh-huh.
I know. I'm a firm believer. What's meant to be is meant to be.
Yeah.
And so it was a bummer.
But there's a lot to going out of state, too, that you don't realize. And they were saying, you know, yes, it's going to be out of state and you're going to have to, I guess, per that state's law, we would have to stay for at least a week after the child's born before we can cross back over.
Wow.
And then you're going to have to pay double the attorney fees because they have to. There was just a lot to it.
And traveling during coronavirus.
And traveling. Yep. But surprisingly, this... having all these encounters, they said that this is busy for us. Like
we have
expecting adoptive parents that wait months before they hear anything.
Wow.
They could go almost a whole year and not have a phone call.
Oh my God.
So she's like, so it's a good thing, but it also is, it's bittersweet because you get all this action and then nothing's happened with it. So
yeah.
It's kind of heartbreaking at the same time.
Yeah.
So it just got quiet again for a little while. And, do you want to tell the story?
Sure. So April rolls around. I'm at work doing my normal thing, planning to come home and, you know, make dinner, do our normal routine. Well, I get a call, and at that time I was working, so I work in the healthcare field. So I was at the hospital working the hospital hours, and I get a call from our agency, and I'm like, oh, well, I'll call her back in like 10 minutes. No big deal. Then I get a text message. Please call me ASAP, like now, please. So I run to the break room, and it's our one of our social workers we had been working with. And she says, hey, so I have a baby. He's already born. The parents really like your profile. Can you call me so we can do like a three-way phone conference with them, like now? Oh my God. And I'm like, oh my God, well, I'm at work. So she's like, well, you know, you don't necessarily have to run home if you can get Nick on the phone. So I'm calling him. 10 minutes go by. He's not answering his phone. God. And I know he's at home.
Where could I be?
So I finally say, you know what? I'm wasting time calling him. I'm just going to drive home. I'm going to leave now. We're just going to go.
I did something that I don't normally do. I got home from work. I parked the truck and I just walked to the mailbox, but I left my phone in the truck. I was just going to get the mail. And as I was going to get the mail, the neighbor was outside. You know, she's waving her hands and she's like, hey, how's it going? Haven't talked to you in a while. Are you guys still working with all this stuff going on? And I was like, God, I haven't talked to her in a few months. And so, you know, I'm standing there for like 25 minutes and Paige just kind of rolls in. I'm like, wow, she's home really early. And then I see her kind of like waving her hands and I'm like, oh my God, who died? And
so I'm like waving frantically, like, come on, like come inside right now.
Yeah.
I'm sure my neighbor thought I was a lunatic.
So yeah, she got out of the car and she was like, yeah, we've got to call the agency like now. So we went inside and we got on a conference call with our social worker and, she just kind of reiterated what Paige just said, that this family really liked her profile and, they would actually like to conference in on the call and talk to us if we were okay with that. And so that's what we did.
Mind you, normally when you get matched or you're going to go meet with an expectant mom, there's like a little bit of prep time to like plan like what you're going to say. There was no planning whatsoever. So I had no idea what to expect, but the phone call went fantastic. We couldn't have asked for a better couple to speak with. And at the very end of the phone call, you know, they all hung up and then our social worker called back and said, okay, so come to the hospital tomorrow.
Oh my God.
So within 24 hours, we were at the hospital with the baby. Oh
my God. It was crazy because like, you know, you're like, you're mentally prepared. You've been doing it for so long. So you're just like, yeah, I know we're eventually going to adopt a baby. And so,
they warn you that these fall in your laps happen, but not very often. So
did you have any of the stuff at home?
Yes. Thankfully, we'd kind of, once we became active, we slowly just kind of accumulated some things just in case.
Yeah.
So we had, thankfully, a car seat all ready to go. But, you know, it was still scary because she hadn't signed her rights off yet.
Yeah.
So we were told just to go to the hospital, be there at a certain time. And then we got there and literally just waited in the car until we got the okay. And that was a long wait, even though it was only like 30, 45 minutes. We just were nervous about, is she going to change her mind?
I don't know if this is too personal or too much information for them, but about them, but there were a couple, did they have a bunch of kids already and they couldn't have, they didn't want more? Is that too much?
No, they were younger, a little bit younger than us. They're not married, they're just together.
Okay.
I think he has a couple other kids from previous. You know, that was kind of a hard part for me too, is still not fully knowing why they wanted to go this route. We were told it was financially kind of a thing of that sort, but it was just all so fast. We just never got the gist of what made them. And we didn't ask him when we talked on the phone. I didn't, you know, didn't want to go that route.
Okay.
But they're very sweet. We couldn't ask for a better set of birth parents to be.
Amazing.
Yeah. We're so thrilled with how it all worked out.
And
even though it was fast.
Okay, can you tell me about your baby?
Sure. So he was, so by the time that next day we got to the hospital, he was already 4 days old.
Oh, my goodness.
He was teeny tiny peanut, weighed 5'11".
Oh, my gosh.
Just little.
Very little. Born the day before my birthday, which made it a little more special.
Yes.
And he's super cute. He's got a little butt chin and some dimples.
Yeah. He has the cutest dimples when he smiles.
Oh, my
and big,
gosh.
Big eyes. Mm-hmm. He's very cute. So.
Okay, so what's it like being a brand new parent? So like, on day one, bringing the baby home, I mean, are you guys freaking out?
I'll tell you this. I mean, when we got the call, I mean, we had like everything in the nursery pretty much ready. You know, we had a stack of diapers and what's, I mean, you name it. We pretty much had everything. You're mentally prepared that like it's going to happen, but this happened so freaking fast.
Yeah. Emotionally, that kind of, we were thrilled that this happened, but, and I don't think a lot of people talk about this, but the postpartum factor,
yeah.
I still feel like that hits even when you don't physically have the child.
Interesting.
We were so thrilled to be home with him, but there were a lot of things, I guess, subconsciously for me mm-hmm. that kind of just appeared. I had some anxiety issues.
Of course.
And I think it was just adjusting and having to, you know, now you are literally in charge of taking care of this child, and you had 24 hours notice and he's here and it's, you know, let's go.
Yeah.
So it's been good though. It's been really good. We're figuring out a routine.
We are adjusting.
So it's good.
Name him or do the bio parents?
That's a really good question.
Oh.
So when we got the call from our social worker, he was already named by his birth parents and they said to our social worker that, hey, it would be kind of cool if maybe they could incorporate that name somehow. Mm-hmm. Not that we have to, but that would be sweet. And so, yeah.
So he has two middle names.
Yeah.
So we used.
What's his full name?
So his full name is Beckett Milo James Davis.
Amazing. And which one?
So the Milo part came from his birth
That's
parents.
That's a cool name.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If it was something really strange, you could have been like,
I know.
You know,
I'm
sorry.
Like, yeah, no, if it was really out there, yeah. I would have just said
like
I'm sorry.
Like Apple or something. You know, some of those people.
Yeah. I'll probably name my kid something fruity for sure. Definitely something environmental. Ozone.
Ozone. Please do, Molly.
Ozone, that's crazy. Yeah.
So we ended up incorporating Milo as a middle name, and we thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just crazy how everything happened. You know, Paige wasn't pregnant, so just
right.
mentally preparing that part of it. You know, one day you're just returning home from work, and like we thought we were just you're gonna do your normal life stuff, you mm-hmm. know. And it's like, hey,
right.
How about tomorrow? You know?
Yeah.
What did your neighbor think? Know. Did your neighbor see you coming home with a baby all of a sudden?
Well, okay. So this is a good question too. So right as Paige pulled in, I was ending the conversation with, she was asking about the adoption. I said, yeah, we're just okay. waiting. And I told her, so if you see us with a car seat one day, that's like what's going on. She's like, okay. And then literally as I ended mm-hmm. with that conversation, Paige pulled
that's
in.
That's crazy.
Man, it's just been such a wild ride.
It really has.
So.
I'm just feeling so emotional just hearing it. I don't know why. I just feel overwhelmed with happiness for you guys. This thing is just wonderful.
Thank you.
I don't know why I'm crying. It's just been an emotional week, I think. I'm tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
How crazy.
Oh, Molly.
Well, but you know, you think back to 4 years ago when we started all this and you think like you're not going to get it anywhere and it's never going to happen. And it does. And it's, I feel like it worked the way it was supposed to.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be his parents and you know, it doesn't mean we're done yeah. with the fertility stuff,
yeah.
but we're pretty happy with him. So
yeah, it's great. And you know, to the people listening, if you're going through infertility, like this took, as Paige just said, it was like 4 years to get to what just happened.
Yeah.
This adoption happened a month ago. And so it's still super, it's still super new to us. And I think back and I'm like, everything just seems like a blur, but you definitely don't forget when you're knee deep in shit.
Yeah.
And you know that it, you know, you have those moments where it sucks and you have an IUI where it's failed and you're like, let's do it again. And it's failed. And you're like, how am I going to afford this? And you work some overtime, you know, it sucks. And we know what it feels like. But you're going to get there. Yeah. It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. And I really feel that like it happens for people all the time. It's going to have a positive ending.
Yeah.
No matter where you are in your journey,
yeah.
you're going to have the best ending.
Yeah.
Well, not even an ending. Let's make it a beginning.
Right.
You know? Yeah. But it definitely happens.
Yeah. It's good to hear.
It's great.
You did mention money and those struggles. Do you mind if I ask what it ended up costing you to do the adoption?
Sure.
Yeah.
So in total, it's about $34,000. Mm-hmm. And that was cheaper than other places that I had looked into. There were some places that wanted double. Granted, you're not putting it all, you're not spending all of that right away. There's different things that it goes towards. And all those girls at that agency, they work so hard in everything that they do. So I get where the money's going. And surprisingly, the attorney fees were just a very small fraction of all of that.
Right.
So I thought the attorney portion of it would be sky high.
We do have to add, spending that amount of money, there is what do they call that? A federal tax credit of like, if you spend, I don't know the exact amount. It's like 13,000 something. If you spend that, you get the tax credit back. So you can take that. And so if you took out a loan, you can take your tax credit and put that towards your loan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, we also did other things. Like we had a garage sale.
Mm-hmm.
We baked cookies like sold cookies. We put
in a t-shirt fundraiser.
Yeah, we did a t-shirt fundraiser. But, you know, our garage sale, we put a little sign out there that said all proceeds go to funding our adoption. Oh. We had people stopping by that like didn't even want to buy anything. They just wanted, they would stop by and they would say, oh my God, we love what you're doing. My brother's adopted or we're doing foster care. We love this. And we also did the t-shirt fundraiser.
Yeah.
We did that
but it's probably also been so rewarding for you guys sharing, being open about your experience. And because you're of your openness, you are hearing from other people about their experiences. I just think it's so great for your own mental health just to share these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a big reason why we made the Instagram and started the podcast, just to, even if it was only a couple people listening, just to kind of just be relatable, because when this all started, you feel like you're alone and you're not. There's so many people going through the same thing.
There's a lot of people.
Yeah.
There are, man. There's a lot of people going through it. It's just no one really talks about it. So definitely don't feel like you're alone.
Yeah.
There's a ton of people that are willing to talk to you too. I would encourage people, find these people on Instagram, hashtag infertility and hashtag IVF. There are thousands of people that are openly talking about their journey.
Mm-hmm.
And there's someone just like you. I can promise you that there's someone that's dealing with the same issues, and you can definitely find them.
Yeah.
They're out there.
Yeah.
But what a wild ride,
what
man.
What a wild ride. I'm so happy you've got your little baby, Beckett.
Thank you.
And is he with your parents right now?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you couldn't. I don't know if that picked up at all.
I heard him
crying out there.
Aww.
Okay, that's good. He's out there with my mom.
Aww.
So, yeah, he was crying a little bit.
I
think he's quiet now.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for telling me that story and telling me
this
story.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for having
you're
us.
Welcome.
Yeah. This was so much fun, Molly.
Yeah.
We really appreciate this. Yeah.
I'm so happy for you. So, really,
thank you so much.
Telling us all this story.
Yeah. Thanks
You're
for having us.
You're very welcome. So see you later.
Bye,
guys. Well, heck, everybody, good things happening out there in the world. Thank you so much, Nick and Paige, for doing the podcast, and thank you all so much for listening to this episode. Thank you for subscribing, for being a patron, for sharing with your friends, for supporting the show with your dollars on Venmo, for rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget, I'm here doing fertility consultations, here for you if you need an ear or a shoulder to cry on. Don't be afraid to reach out. And don't forget, if you have any suggestions for possible guests for the future, please send them my way. My email is spermcast@gmail.com. You can also DM me on my Instagram @spermcast. You can leave me a voicemail or message me at 323-741-1818. And I don't know who my guest is next week, but I am so excited for next week to come because over the course of this afternoon, thanks to the help of a listener, I have discovered the most insane coincidence. And you're going to love it, and I can't wait to share it with you. Okay, so tune in next week and get out there and protest. Read some books. Okay, bye.
He could be bald and bearded, short or tall. Funny, smart, love basketball. From gay, straight, black to white. Tiny eyes with an underbite. I just need SpermCast.
An Earios production.
Powered by Acast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.